Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Welcome to the latest edition of the First Down Snapcast. Tonight I'm joined by regular pundit Stuart Horsfall and Ian Davis. How are you both doing tonight, guys?
Very well, thank you, Richard.
Yeah, I'm really well. I'm glad to be back, actually. I actually had to come back because you tried to replace me last week with somebody that was considerably better than me, so I had to come back so that you
can...
Yeah, I had to come back because, quite frankly, I feared for my job.
Yeah. I think you did need to come back, though, because I think Ian thought he had a bit of free will last week and plagiarising all your NFL Whisperer stories and trying to get one over on you.
You just can't have anything, can you? Do you know? You'll soon learn that Ian has nothing of his own. He robs and steals everything.
Yeah. On the podcast and in personal life, yeah.
NFL News and Rumours.
So, the first story in the news this week has broke yesterday and it's been rebroken again today. The FA have agreed to sell Wembley to Jacksonville Jaguar owners Shahid Khan for $600 million with potentially a buyout clause of $100 million if the stadium drops in not the elite status in UEFA. Was this an obvious decision, Stuart, the FA selling Wembley?
I don't think it was an obvious decision because I think the FA will have definitely taken some consideration about how the fans will feel. But I think it makes sense from an NFL point of view. I think it's probably one step closer to getting a UK franchise. Probably a debate that we'll have to save for another day on whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. But it looks like Mr. Khan is definitely considering it, and obviously buying the Wembley is one step closer to that. What it means for the England national team, I personally, somebody who lives in the north, think it's a good thing because I actually might be able to go see him if they come travel and go play some friendlies at, for example, Old Trafford and places like that. It actually means that people in the north might be able to get to see him. So, it's a good deal in my eyes.
Khan keeps reiterating he's not moving Jacksonville. Is that just a cover-up at the moment and he just doesn't want to upset obviously because Jacksonville are in a bit of good momentum at the moment. They're getting the fans through in Jacksonville and he just don't want to say, yeah, we're moving, just to break all that momentum.
The thing with that is he can't say to his fan base when there's nothing cemented, can he, that, yeah, we're going to move to England. So I think you're right. It's the fact that he can't alienate all his fans. You saw what happened years ago with the Cleveland Browns when they moved. And I think it'll be kept quite close to the chest. If it happens, but I think it'll be announced as late as possible when it does get announced.
It's not often I agree with Ian, but he's right. I don't think you can announce anything. You can't even really announce your intentions until you've really got something firmly cemented in concrete and some, you know, some ink on some paper to say that it can happen, because obviously there'll be all kinds of approvals have to go through with the NFL before you can move a franchise. I mean, looking at it purely from a business point of view, he could be looking at it saying, actually, the amount of NFL fans that the UK generates, it makes sense for him to have a piece of that pie. So he might have some agreements with the NFL to say, okay, if we don't have a UK franchise, but you can guarantee 3 games a year at Wembley, he might be making his money that way rather than actually bringing the franchise over. So you don't really know which way it's going. I personally think it's probably leaning towards bringing a franchise over, but it could just as easily be Mr. Khan wanting to take a piece of the money in the UK market by basically having the revenue from the games. So you just don't know.
Well, yeah, because if he owns a stadium and the NFL want to use it, he's going to get the money, not the FA, isn't he? So
exactly.
So it's good news though for the NFL at UK. Obviously we've got the delayed Tottenham Stadium, which is purpose built with a pitch for the NFL, but many fans do prefer Wembley, so an NFL team buying that secures it for a lot longer.
It's like when the games at Twickenham. You know what I mean? The games at Twickenham are just harder to get to than Wembley.
Yeah. I would. The reason why I think it's going to end up in a UK franchise is because of Tottenham. I think if Tottenham hadn't had the NFL pitch put in place and it was just a normal football stadium or, you know, standard soccer stadium, so to speak, then I would suggest that it's probably more likely that Cam was buying it to invest in the games in the UK. But because now you've effectively got two areas in two pitches in which the games can be played on, that's what makes me think it's going to be a UK franchise, because obviously the rest of the games that come up then would be played at Tottenham. It makes more sense, the pieces fit a little bit more.
And obviously from a football side of it, from here in the UK, you're going to hope he's not going to want to change the pitch at Wembley.
I'm sure there'll be things built in longer to do with the national team. There must already be
clauses.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get football fans, soccer fans moaning about it, which you can quite understand. It's the national stadium, isn't it? You know, you can understand people not being happy. But it's business, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, I've went to watch football at the old Wembley. I've been to watch football at the new Wembley. And, you know, I totally agree that it's the home of football, but the times in which we move now, that everything needs to be, it needs to be a break even. And if the FA can't make Wembley work for them with regards to the money they need to get in and the money that they need to make English football better, if they can't make it work and this is the way that they can make it work, then that's the way we need to move. I personally think it's a good thing because more fans are going to be able to see England. We saw in the build-up to the World Cup with, you know, when they came to Leeds, there was obviously a lot better atmosphere. England performed better because the atmosphere was better. So for me, that's all the positive things of England being on the road and maybe playing at different stadiums. You know, if someone lives in Newcastle, can you really go down and watch a qualifier on a Monday, Tuesday night? You can't really, but if it's local, it's in Leeds, it's only an hour and a half away, it just means that you're pulling in more fans from other areas.
Yeah, definitely. Another news story what hit this week, and obviously I'll come to you, Stuart, because it affects you a bit more with your team. The Everson Griffin was left out of the Vikings squad on Sunday, and they never mentioned anything about it, but then obviously on Monday it was announced that he'd been left out due to health issues, and it seems to be going through a bit of a rough time at the moment.
I don't really know what he's dealing with, but there seems to be some off-field personal issues that have created some demons that he's been challenging with, and I've read quite a lot of stories about this, and I'm not quite sure which one to believe. There were some stories that he'd actually escaped out the back of an ambulance, but actually the Vikings have made a press statement saying that he's actually checked himself into the hospital to get himself evaluated. So, I mean, For me, he's probably one of the best edge rushers in the NFL. He's an absolute, well, you know, he's the sack king, isn't he? So I just, for me, I wish him all the best. And I think that, you know, the stigma is, or the perception is, that just because these guys earn a lot of money that they don't have problems to deal with. And, you know, some people would say that obviously the more money you earn, the bigger the problems you get. So I think everybody fights the demons, has got demons to fight. And obviously some are on a bigger scale. And I just hope he comes back healthy. So, you know, all the best to him.
Yeah.
I think the problem you get, and this is in general, I have a theory about this, and with NFL, you know, you get a lot of players with these, we don't know exactly the problem, but they have these mental problems. You get a lot of Premier League footballers getting themselves into trouble. And to me, what happens is, they're at school, the standouts of what they do, they get everybody telling them they're brilliant. They go to college in America, you know, they still get the same, they've got this star status. They're coming to the NFL or the Premier League, they get so much money thrown at them, and they've never grown up properly, they've not had a normal life. And that's going to create mental problems among some people, isn't it? They don't know what normal life is.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't really know what's gone on in his personal life to trigger it. I mean, it could be, I know that in the past, it could be the death of someone that's quite close to you in your family that's just spiraled you into a dark place. That could be one reason. And you don't know what can trigger these things. And you know, mental health and depression is such a difficult thing to deal with, just, you know, from the outside and the person who's dealing with it, that you just don't know. Unless you've been in that situation, you don't know. So, I mean, I'm not going to start speculating about how he's got into that. I just, you know, from my point of view, I just wish him all the best. And, you know, as a Vikings fan, I want to see him back doing what he does best. And that's smiling with a big grin on his face. Because, you know, if you watch the things from, like, the Minnesota Miracle, he was like a big kid on the sideline when Diggs scored that touchline. And that's the kind of thing that I'm thinking about, is the kind of that grin when he's playing. He's such a happy player. And that's what I want to see him back doing. I don't want to hear these stories about him, you know, obviously the issues that he's got. You want to see him back on the field, being healthy, being happy, and doing what he does best.
Yeah, especially big grins he pulls when he sat them quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So, finally on the news this week, and we seem to be having this in game after game so far this year, roughing the passer. How, Ian, can you now tackle a quarterback?
Well, with a pillar.
The film of how you can tackle a quarterback, you have to approach them, lay a cushion down, gently pick them up, and carry them to the ground and kiss them on the forehead. That's the only way.
I actually think that even if Clay Matthews did that, I think Clay Matthews would probably still get a penalty.
Yeah. Apparently, he's been suspended for causing Jimmy G's ACL as well.
Are the referees going a bit too stupid with this now? Because effectively the quarterback's just going to end up with a free roam around the field.
Well, they're all doing it, so it's not really the officials, is it? It's what they've been told to do. Yeah. But it's crazy, isn't it? There was a couple in the Dallas-Seattle game. Crawford just missed the sack and he got pulled rough in the passer. And one of the Seattle guys stumbled into Dak just after he'd let the ball go, literally stumbled into him, and it was third down. We didn't get it. Up in the passer, 15 yards in the first down. Crazy.
Yeah, and I know that they're doing it to obviously protect the quarterback, and I think there needs to be a happy medium found, because some of the hits that have been going on the quarterbacks, I actually think, you know, a good tackles, like, I mean, the one that Clay Matthews got called at the weekend, he was basically hitting in the midriff, head to one side. I don't even think he could have done it more legally if he'd have tried. To be fair, these pass rushes are coming at quite a pace, so it's difficult to just adjust your body to be able to, you know, make sure you get your head to the side, tackle in the midriff, get your shoulder in. I mean, it's hard when you're coming at that speed to not take the quarterback off his feet. Because bearing that in mind, the quarterback's already on his tiptoes. He's usually pedalling backwards. So it's, I mean, just the sheer physics of it mean that the quarterback's going to come off his feet when he gets it. So I think they need to look at it seriously. I don't know whether it's going to be like the catch rule where it all gets a bit woolly for a bit, and then they actually bring some new rules out to define it a little bit further. But we'll have to wait and see. But it's silly at the minute.
Did you see about the Miami guy who tried to avoid the quarterback? He tried to avoid falling onto him, twisted, and he's done his ACL, and he's out for the season. William Hayes.
So I didn't see that.
They've tried to avoid the injuries, and because of that rule, you've got a defensive player out for the season.
I did see Big Ben exaggerating contact to get the puck from the passer call.
Yeah, I've read about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the other way that you're going to get. I mean, I don't agree with that. You don't want it to go like football where you get bloody people play acting just to get a penalty.
And he's not the smartest quarterback, is he, to be doing that?
No, you need to. I mean, in that same game, Gerald McCoy went through to hit Big Ben and he started apologising mid-tackle. Have you seen that one?
No, I've not seen that one.
Yeah, McCoy comes through and Ben's just on the release as he drops his head to tackle him. And McCoy basically is hitting him, but apologising him because he can't stop hitting him. And he's actually apologising as he hits him. It's because he was macked up. It was ridiculous.
Crazy, is that?
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll probably touch on this throughout the season, but we'll leave it there with the news this week.
I've got one further bit of news, actually, that's just come up today, and that's about Eric Reid signing a contract with the Panthers.
Panthers.
Yes, he has, hasn't he?
Yeah, so he's back in the league. I'm glad to see him back in the league. So the next question is do we reckon Cap might be the next person to get a contract somewhere?
Well, there's a lot of rumours that 49ers want him back, but you don't know if you're just saying that because obviously Garoppolo's gone down. You want a bit of intent and go and get him, because if Reid can come back, why can't Kaepernick?
Well, I mean, this is basically why I brought it up. I think, is CJ Beathard going to be a quarterback that's going to do anything for the 49ers, or is he just going to basically see out the season?
Exactly, and they've had Tom Savage there, haven't they, for a workout?
Exactly. And so if you brought in Kaepernick, could he do something? It's a bit of an unknown, but you might actually get people, you might get bums on seats wanting to know what's going to happen. Whereas at the minute, now that Garoppolo's out, 49ers are a bit like, meh, because you know they're not going to do anything. But if you get Kaepernick back involved, they suddenly become a bit of interest again. So I personally think they should definitely consider it.
Well, we see CJ, we didn't win a game until Garoppolo went there, did they?
So, but exactly. I mean, I don't even think that the wide receiver group is exactly blessed with talent, is it? So
no, you need a quarterback who's going to find something special.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll go with Cap because of the fan base. I think they should do, but I don't think they will.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think they will either, but I think it would give the 49ers something. It would be a bit more of an interesting season if they did.
Yeah, keep the season alive, which it's going to go in it now.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get to the playoffs, so you might as well have a bit of fun on the way. And I think if Cap came in, you would at least have some entertaining games to watch.
And like, back to your point, Stuart, bums on seats.
Exactly, no.
So, no, it's interesting. We'll have to keep an eye on that over the next few weeks, see if that changes. So, week three has come and gone, and it's time for that regular slot now on the show where we look at the highs and lows. First high is a high and a low. I think we can discuss them both here. Have we seen Buffalo Bills' highest point of the season and Vikings' lowest point, potentially?
Oh, that was funny one.
No.
I'm sorry, Stuart.
Don't, be careful. Be careful, Ian, because we have got to get on to talking about the Dallas Cowboys. So how brutal I am about the Dallas Cowboys is all dependent on how nice you are about the Vikings.
So are we going Buffalo were fantastic, or Vikings just had an off day?
A lot of people are coming out and saying that Josh Allen was amazing, but He got one passing touchdown, and quite frankly, I think I could have made that pass because he was in absolute acres of space. I think the play calling from the Viking side of the field was shocking. We kept running the same play, even after halftime. We barely got past the halfway line. Kirk Cousins got absolutely zero protection, which worries me because we're now going to play the LA Rams, which, you know, their offensive line isn't exactly rubbish, is it? So there's some significant concerns I've got. I think Cousins held onto the ball too long on some plays. I genuinely thought that it looked like a team that had taken the Bills for granted. And the Bills, to their credit, took 100% they took the chances and they basically blew us out of the water. You know, we'll only find out tonight whether looking past the Bills has actually done us any good, because if we lose tonight, we're going to play the Eagles. We could end up going into, you know, week six with a 1-3-1 record, which, quite frankly, that's not playoff form. So a lot is going to hinge on tonight. I think if we win tonight, which I think is a big ask, I think then the Bills game might be forgotten about. But if we lose again tonight, then I think Zimmer's going to have to be coming up with some serious questions.
Because it was very, like, I think we have discussed this before, Stuart. They used Latavius Murray more as a receiving person than a running back on Sunday. They didn't really try, couldn't even get a game established, could they?
This is what bugs me. I mean, obviously, I'm looking at it from the outside, and obviously you would expect the coaching staff at Minnesota to know more than me, but Latavius Murray is not a catching back. He's an in-between tackle runner. He's a bit of a power back. That's what he's good at. That's what he's made his name for. He's not a nimble... He's not like a Gurley. He's not a Sonny Michel at Patriots. He's not a Dalvin Cook. He's not somebody that can do these kind of pass catching roles. That's not his strengths, and I don't think we played to his strengths. And obviously he got picked off, didn't he, when he was trying to catch the ball, and he just basically flattened it up in the air. I just think the Vikings got it all wrong against the Bills. I think they got it all wrong, and I think the Bills executed their game plan perfectly. I'm not going to sit here and say that the only reason the Bills won was because the Vikings were shocking. Just because the Vikings were shocking, the Bills still had to perform to a level. Do I think the Bills are going to perform to that level again? No, I can't see them winning against Green Bay this week. So I think you might have seen the Bills' highest point of the year, but what a high point. They absolutely destroyed the Vikings. Absolutely destroyed them.
Definitely. Another high point this week. Khalil Mack continues to inspire the Bears.
He's just phenomenal this season, isn't he? I mean, he's always phenomenal, but it's almost as though he's trying to rub John Gruden's nose in it at the minute and say, look, this is what you've given up. Because it's just week after week.
The
Bears only need him at the moment, don't they? He's doing everything.
The funny thing that I saw was the fact that Khalil Mack has got better defensive stats than the entire Oakland defense.
Yeah. The Rams beat. Rams? I'll just
go for all 32 in, it's all right.
Who's this Khalil Mack you're talking about? Never heard of him.
Yeah, it's old age. Memory's the first thing to go.
Yeah.
No, he's definitely helping that Bears side, and it's giving the offensive team, offensive with Trubisky, as many chances as possible to win games.
Yeah, because he's just throwing little passes, but he's getting the time to do it because they're getting the ball back all the time. So he's doing what he needs to do. Yeah.
Trubisky's not been brilliant, has he? Let's be honest. I mean, I know that they've been winning, but he's not been brilliant. He's been pretty rubbish, to be honest.
Yeah, he's not setting it alight, is he?
No, with the way the defense is playing, they should be doing a lot better. They should be. The game shouldn't be as close as they are with the way the defense is playing. But
yeah.
Trubisky has really struggled, and I know what you mean. He's been doing a lot more check down plays, but.
Yeah,
you know, if you've got a quarterback that's dynamic like that, you really want to be getting him out, making bigger plays, open up the playbook a bit. But it's whether he's actually got it in him, and I think that's the debate at the minute.
Yeah,
it's definitely one there. Another high was the eventual victory of the Cleveland Browns. I think we all predicted, barring Ian last week.
Sure, I don't remember that. I thought I said they'd win easily.
I listened to the podcast on my sick bed. Yeah, I listened to the podcast on my sick bed, and you basically just slagged the Browns off from start to finish.
They were shambles, and they hadn't got a chance.
You basically said they were a shambles, yeah. And no team that's that much of a shambles was ever going to win. Hugh Jackson was a waste of space, and you basically just slagged them all off.
They weren't winning though till Baker Mayfield came on.
I didn't actually think that Tyrod Taylor was doing that bad, but I think when Baker Mayfield came on, he just took that entire offense to a different level.
Yeah, Yeah, they just seemed to have a lift straight away when he came on.
Yeah, and I tell you what, it got a level out of Jarvis Landry that he hadn't shown so far this season. So that's, I mean, I'm not even remotely surprised they made him start, because if you were on the defensive side of the ball and you're looking at that offense now, you'd be thinking, oh yes, and that'd inspire a defense, wouldn't it? So yeah, I think they'll win again this week. I really do.
Definitely, I think they'll be there. And a couple of those here, I know you're definitely going to want to chirp in on this one, Stuart. Blake Bortles back to himself.
Oh,
after his superb game against the Patriots, he was back down to earth with a bump.
Yeah, an awful game.
He's a quarterback that, or maybe two or three times a season, will have a game where he looks like an absolute world beater, but for the rest of the time, he just looks like an absolute duffer. And for me, that is the last piece of the jigsaw that the Jaguars have got to really start contending, because I think they've done really well with the wide receiver group. They've mixed it up. They obviously let Hearns and Robinson go, but they brought in Keenan Cole, and that catch that he did the other week was absolutely phenomenal. So they look like they've got themselves another player there. They're trusted in Westbrook, but they've just got a quarterback that is so inconsistent that you can't really run any kind of offensive plan, because you just don't know what you're going to get out of him from week to week. So I wouldn't be surprised if Jags went quarterback in the draft this year. I really wouldn't.
Yeah, it's definitely looking at that's a position they're going to have to fix. Another low, unfortunately, Dallas failed to deliver again. I thought it was quite ironic that Earl Thomas got two interceptions against you.
Did you see him bowing to the sideline as well after the second one?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, he bowed to the Dallas coaching staff. Because apparently they've been talking to him during the game, or before the game, saying he's ready to get traded on Monday. Which he thinks they were doing it to try and upset him, but it didn't really work, did it? Because he had a storming game.
Well, I thought Dallas had won, where Garrett was clapping and happy.
He didn't clap quite as much as normal, to be honest.
He still clapped, though.
Oh, yeah. On the clapometer, it's not his best game.
The
offensive line, we've got problems with that. They were getting past Tyrone Smith, which normally doesn't happen. Travis Frederick's still missing. So the defensive line looked awful. Not even average, it looked awful.
The Seahawks O-line is pretty grim, and Chris Carson ran a mock, didn't he, really?
But, the problem isn't our defence. Our defence is doing all right. Byron Jones was rated the top cornerback in the NFL after three games.
Three games, though, isn't it?
It is, but you've still got to do it over three games. I'm not saying he's going to be the top cornerback at the end of the season, but what I'm saying is the Dallas defense is doing all right. But on offense, Zeke fumbling. And did you see the pass where he stepped out of bounds beforehand? That's just lazy play. Just ridiculous. And we were 14-3 down with seconds to go, and Seattle were on the border of field goal range. Randy Gregory, after the play, shoved his hand in somebody's helmet, and penalty put him into easy field goal range, another 3 points. They just imploded. And in my opinion, it won't change until the coaching staff change.
Yeah, I think Mr. Clappy needs to go, and I also think that you need to seriously consider getting another quarterback, because
don't you, against Dallas?
Well, yeah, they're just going to run the ball, just because Dak doesn't throw anything downfield, so whether he can make those plays or not. But I mean, I was looking at the passer ratings, and we posted in the group that Brock Osweiler's got better stats than Dak does. Over, I think it was a 17-game period, so...
And he came
11, yeah. But he's thrown for 200 yards once in the last 9 games, I think.
And a team of Dallas needs someone better than that, don't they? To be fair.
Yeah. But
I mean, I know they're talking about... They're having a go at the wide receiver group, saying, that are they their best, but I'm not being funny. Then Dak's not even targeting him. Alan Hearns is better than than what he's showing at the minute, because he's, but he's not getting the targets to do anything with it. I think Gallup is a really good wide receiver, but he's not, again, he's not getting the targets to do anything with it. You've got other guys as well, but it, for me, it all rests on Dak's shoulders, where he's not even making the plays. He's relying too heavily on Zeke, which means that you know what Dallas are going to do. They're going to run the ball. And I saw a stat. I saw the stat the other day that all the teams that run the ball on the first down are all the teams in the league with the worst offense.
Yeah.
So if you look at the teams with the best offense, so teams like Kansas City, they don't run the ball on first down.
Yeah.
They basically make plays. They go out and make plays, and they make you defend those plays. And it's the same with Jared.
Everyone knows what Dallas is going to do first down.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. If you look at teams like LA Rams and the Kansas City Chiefs, they don't run it on first down. They are making plays and they are forcing the defense to do something. They're basically saying to the defense, stop us doing this. Where basically Dallas, because they're scared of doing that or they don't trust Dak to do that, they're saying, we're just going to try and grind it downfield. I just don't think you're not going to win games by doing that.
Well, two seasons ago we were, because we had, without doubt then, the best defensive line. And they were far, they could just power the way through. You know, when Zeke broke all those records, it was, we had an offensive line at the top of the game and they were creating gaps and we got a great running back as well. And it worked that season. He hasn't got that offensive line. Yet the week before, I thought he did all right, Zeke. You know, he's still putting the numbers up. But week two, he did well, but he had to fight for all his yards. He wasn't getting any help at all.
I just think that the league from when I first started really watching it 5 or 6 years ago, the league has developed now to the point where it is very much more a passing league than it is a running league. And if you don't have the ability to play the passing game effectively, and then you can mix in the run in and amongst it, like you know, the Rams do, and obviously the Chiefs do with Kareem Hunt, but it's more, you know, passes to the flat where they can get the running backs into space. If you can't do that in today's football, you're going to get left behind, and that's what I think Dallas are getting. They're 100% getting left behind now on offense.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a long season.
One more bit on the news. So there's a comment there on Facebook, and I think, Ian, you've promised to talk about something good happening with Carolina Panthers. So about the lad from England who made his debut.
I think it's a great story. Me and Stuart were talking about while we were waiting for you for half an hour before we started the podcast.
45 minutes.
Was it 45 minutes in the end? Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I've gone stir crazy in this room waiting for Richard.
Epi Abada, it's his first real outing in the NFL, and he had a great game. I don't know if you saw a picture of him getting presented the game ball. But what we were talking about before you came on, Richard, was that I like his story because, you know, we've got people like Ajayi born in England, but Abada actually played for the London Warriors. You know, he didn't have that upbringing in America that a lot of them have done, so it's been a lot tougher for him, so I think it's brilliant. And the guy who you're talking about on Facebook, Antonio Early, sent me some details because the Bard has actually come across, well, his flight got delayed, but he is coming across still this week, and he's meeting up with a load of Panthers fans in London, which I think is great as well, you know, that he's coming over here and spending a bit of time with our fans.
Yeah, that's really good, is that?
We're hoping to get some pictures for the group as well.
Excellent. So, just want to end this week with your offensive player of the week and defensive player of the week, Stuart.
I'm going to go defensive player. I know who Ian's going to go for already, but I'm going to go defensive player, Khalil Mack. I think the start he's had to the season has been phenomenal, and I think he's taken that entire Bears defense to another level. I think they were good last year, but I think he's basically brought them up to his level. You've got Danny Trevathan, who's upped his game. You've got a Raquan Smith from this year who's really upped his game as well. So I'm going to go, Khalil Mack. And obviously, for me, quite guttingly, is a player that I had on my bench in fantasy. I think this year, this week, you can't look past Calvin Ridley for Offensive Player of the Week. I think 140 yards, three receiving touchdowns. He had an absolute monstrous game.
Ian?
Defensive player, it's my man, isn't it? Justin Evans with a, another interception. Oh. Yeah, he rang me after the game. We had a little chat. You know, a couple of things where he'd gone slightly wrong, and he's going to take them on board and improve on those little tweaks next week. But yeah, he's definitely on for defensive player of the season at the moment. And my offensive player, I'm not really sure about this, but I think I'm going for Drew Brees. I think he threw for, I don't know, I think it was nearly 400 yards in the end in a proper shootout against Atlanta. And I'm going for him more from a personal point of view. I love it when the Saints get involved in those shootouts because I think Drew Brees is so good at it. And you always think he's going to come out on top in the end. He's going to pull things out. So yeah,
Drew, and you wouldn't expect him to get two rushing touchdowns either, would you?
No, that is true, yes. Yeah.
One using a spin move as well.
My defensive player of the week is Darius Leonard of the Colts. So he recorded 13 tackles in the defeat to Eagles on Sunday, and 9 of them were solo. So
it's not even just been this week with Leonard. He's been absolutely class. He's another one that's... when you were looking at that Colts defence, you were actually thinking that they didn't look totally great, but he's made a real difference to them. He's an absolute star in the making, is that lad?
In 3 weeks, he's got 30 tackles and 3 sacks.
Yeah, that's some seriously good numbers, is that?
We haven't talked about the Colts much, have we? But I know the 1-2, but they've not had a bad start to the season.
No,
I mean, lost to the Eagles
really
this week.
Well.
I did think it was funny that they took Andrew Luck out because he couldn't make a Hail Mary.
I didn't see that, did they?
Yeah, they
needed a big player to finish the game, so they took Andrew Luck out and put Brissett in because Brissett's arm is stronger than Luck's.
Yeah.
And Luck came out at the end of the game and basically said that his arm isn't where he wants it to be and he can't be making those big plays. And actually, if you look at the plays that he's been making, he's been doing a lot of check down plays recently since he's come back, so there's now questions about how strong his arm actually is. So it's going to be interesting to see how he gets on through the rest
of
the year.
But I think the thing is, even if he's not the man he used to be, he still marshals that offence, doesn't he? He's made him a better offence by being on the field.
He's still better than Dak Prescott, yeah.
My offensive player of the week, I'm going to go a bit off field here. He's probably wanting the number one start, he wants the number one fantasy player. But I'm going to give my offensive player of the week to Baker Mayfield for literally coming in and turning that game round and just creating a bit of stability in that offensive team. We're obviously trailing that game so much, so yeah, Baker for me.
Do you think Tyrod Taylor's going to get traded?
Well, if Cleveland are happy to go with Baker, I can't see Tyrod wanting to sit as stud back up this year. I think he would have been, I'll go Browns full season, then Baker will be ready to step in and I'll move for 2019.
I won't be surprised if we see him move, to be honest, because if you're looking at it, you've got, you know, 49ers, they could definitely do with a quarterback. You might go there, but obviously then when Jimmy G's back, if Dallas don't want to trade for a quarterback, I, to be honest, I still can't see that, but there's an option there. So I wouldn't be surprised if he gets traded before the deadline, yeah.
It'd be interesting to see if that happens. It's a time of the show where we speak to the first down community and put them through a 2-minute drill. This week is Matt Hubbard.
I'm fine, thanks Richard. Thanks for having me on.
Who is your favourite team and why?
My favourite team is the mighty Miami Dolphins.
When did you first get into the NFL and how did you get into the NFL?
First started watching the NFL in the mid-80s, a bit of an old school. Sort of 84, 85, watching the Super Bowl between the Dolphins and the 49ers. And yeah, just took it from there really.
Who is your favourite player of all time and why?
As a Dolphins fan, it's quite obvious really. It's the great Dan Marino. In my opinion, the most naturally gifted passer I think there's ever been.
If you could have a current player from any of the other teams in your roster right now, who would it be and why?
obviously Mourinho, for obvious reasons mentioned before, but if a current player, without a doubt, it would be Aaron Rodgers. I think, again, he's by far and away the most naturally gifted player in the league, if I'm honest.
Are you for a London franchise or not for a London franchise?
On the whole, for. I do think there's some concerns that needs to be addressed. Can it be sustainable for an eight-game season with the same team? I'm not too sure. A lot of fans already have their own sort of team. Would they then switch permanently to a London team, be it the Jags or whoever it may be? So, yeah, a little bit mixed, but on the whole, I think it'd be good.
Thank you for taking part, Matt. If anyone else would like to get involved with a two-minute drill, please drop us a message on Facebook or email us at thefirstdownuk@gmail.com.
So, as we're heading to week four, let's just discuss a few of the games which stand out this weekend. And I'd like to start with the Miami Dolphins against the New England Patriots. Stuart, is Tannehill's bubble about to burst, or is he going to continue and go 4-0?
Fins up, 4-0.
Yeah, I don't think so. I hope the win. But you know what New England are like in games like this. I think it'll be a close game, and I think New England will win it.
I think it'll be a close game, and I think Dolphins will win it. I generally don't think the Patriots are nearly the team they used to be.
No, but they're definitely nowhere near where they were 2 years ago when they beat Atlanta to win the Super Bowl.
They've just put Rex Burkhead on IR, so in the backfield they've got James White, who isn't a backfield runner. He's a using him as a receiver. They've now got Sonny Michel, who's yet to show anything, and he's coming back from injury. So there's some questions there. They lost Jeremy Hill. They're putting a lot of hope on Josh Gordon coming back. There's questions there. You've got Edelman coming back. That's brilliant, but he's still a 32-year-old wide receiver coming off an ACL injury. So again, you've got questions there. I think there's some significant questions about that Patriots defense. I mean, to be honest, they'll probably prove us all wrong, but I think that Dolphins will do them. I really do.
I think it'll be close. I think, well, the last meeting was 27-20 to Dolphins in December. They're always close affairs.
Maybe interesting. And also, Miami haven't gone 4-0 since 1995.
No, they haven't.
I hope Miami do, to be honest, because we weren't giving them a shout, were we?
I think it would be nice to have another leader in that division. I just think just a bit of a changing of the guard, just to change things up. And don't get me wrong, I think Dolphins have been good so far this year, but I don't think they've really come up against much competition in the teams that they've played. Patriots will be probably their first big test, but even then, I don't think it's a Patriots team that has been as good as in previous years. So, but you can only beat what's in front of you, and I think the Dolphins will win.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Ian, what's your prediction on this one?
Yeah, I think Patriots just.
Obviously, is it a close win for Dolphins for you, Stu?
Yeah, I think it'll be a one-point game to the Dolphins. Sorry, a one-score game to the Dolphins.
Yeah, I've got it as one score, but obviously I've got it going Patriots way. Just. The second game I'd like to touch on is the Saints against the Giants. So, Saints have had three extremely close games in the first 3 weeks. Is that about to change now? Are the real Saints about to appear, or is that D going to keep causing them problems?
They're only playing the Giants, aren't they? So.
Yeah, I think they've got this one sewn up. I think that offence is so prolific, and I don't think the Giants' offence is nearly as good as the teams that have run them close. It's not as good as Cleveland. It's not as good as Atlanta were last week. This is the Saints. This is a lock it in. This is a Saints win.
Yeah, I agree.
No hope for the Giants at all.
I just can't see it.
Yeah, you know, they've got Barkley, they've got Beckham, but we say it every week, they've got Eli throwing.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah, I can't see him troubling the Saints at all.
No, so
mind you, the Browns troubling the Jets' eyes last week. So.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, but it's a bit more convincing that you've got Saints going up against Giants. So clean across the board, then Saints wins.
Yeah,
I would suggest so. Yeah,
there's a very interesting AFC South battle on Sunday in the 0-3 Texans against the 1-2 Colts. This could be really interesting because the Texans D is working. As we mentioned, the Colts D with Darius Leonard, it could be make or break for Texans. Because
to be honest, I just don't think the Texans. I still think Texans are a good team. They're one of those teams that's got a lot of talent and it's got a potentially very high ceiling on that team. I just don't really think they've found the mojo yet. I think Deshaun Watson's still finding his groove back from his injury. I actually think that they'll probably win this one quite comfortably. I think it'll be 10 points plus.
Do you see?
Yeah, I agree with you. Deshaun Watson's getting better. He looked terrible in the first game. A bit better in the second game. I thought he looked all right last week. But I just think, we were just talking about with the Colts. I think the Colts, with Andrew Luck, have just got that bit more about them. And I think it'll be close. And we're agreeing too much tonight, Stuart, but I do agree with the Texans are better than the 0-3 suggests. And if they were at home, I think I'd go for them. But going to the Colts, I think the Colts will take it.
Yeah, to be honest, all we're doing is you're agreeing with me, which is because you can't form your own opinion. That's more what's going on here.
I've never seen a game in my life. It's just you needed a third person, didn't you, all the week, and we managed to fool people so far.
Yeah, basically, it was like a care in the community thing. We kind of found you down in the Samaritan shelter, and we took pity on you. It's like adopting a lost dog. To be honest, I don't mind the Colts, but I think they're there's too much of a steady team, and I think they're always going to perform quite well. But I think the Texans are due a breakout game, and I think this is going to be it. The only thing that worries me about the Texans is the fact that Deontay Foreman's still on the pup list, and I think Lamar Miller's got an injury as well. So I don't really think they've got many options other than Alfred Blue out of the backfield, which isn't great, but they've got some really big weapons on the receivers in D-Hop and Will Fuller. So I just think, Watson's going to turn it around this week and put the Colts to the sword.
Yeah, I believe Texans, this is the week. Even like I said, they're away from home. It's not the best place to go to Indiana, but I just think the signs were there last week that victory's on its way, so I'm going Texans this week. And finally, it's not really a preview to do here. What are Tampa going to do? Does Fitz start, or do they bring Winston back in against the Bears?
If they bring Winston back in, I think there'll be an absolute uproar. You cannot drop a quarterback who's had 400-plus passing yards in three consecutive games.
Is Tampa going to do make stupid decisions?
Well, they can't do it. If they do, it's ridiculous. I think they'll turn the whole franchise against them. The Bucs have actually, even the comeback in the second half against Steelers on Monday night was brilliant. They've got the whole franchise now wanting to watch them, that's behind them, and I think if they put Winston back in, I think they will lose any momentum that they had. I think you've got to ride Fitzmagic until the bubble bursts, and then you consider putting Winston back in. But until that bubble bursts, whilst he's got the hot hand, you leave him in.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, he started practicing with them on Wednesday, wasn't it? So he hasn't had that much time either, Winston. So I just think it's weird they haven't said anything. There's nothing been said, has there, about who's going to start.
Apparently the coach says he knows who's starting, but he's not going to say nothing.
Yeah, I'm sure he does, but it's just strange they've not. Well, I suppose that's to keep the Bears guessing. And yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me. I think Winston's starting Sunday. It wouldn't surprise me.
To be honest, there was rumours coming out of the books that they weren't overly happy with Winston anyway. So I wouldn't be surprised if they bench him and then trade him at the end of the year. I really wouldn't. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
But the thing you've got to think as well, the other thing about this particular week, rather than going forward, is because part of that suspension is that he couldn't be at the team facility, could he? No. So he's not been practicing. I know, obviously, he's familiar with the playbook, but he's not been doing it day in, day out, like Fitzpatrick has. So he's not even had a full week before Sunday. So that's got to come into the coach's mind as well. Fitzpatrick's got that playbook. We know what he's doing with it at the minute. It's amazing. So do you drop in with a quarterback that's got half a week's training in? I can't say. I think the mental if they do.
Yeah, I think it's a very stupid thing if they do it. Right, that's the end of the week four previews. So here at the First Down Snapcast, we're always looking at ways of innovating and bringing new ideas and getting you involved. So starting next week, in association with my touchdown box, we're bringing to you Gridiron Duels. Stuart, would you like to inform the listeners of how to get involved and what Gridiron Duels is?
Thanks for warning me that you're going to make me do this, so brilliant for that.
Well, me and you discussed this earlier today, and obviously Ian, I wouldn't have been fair to drop it on Ian. It would have been funny to see him sweat.
Yeah, I would have dropped it on Ian. I would have made Ian explain it.
Let me do it then. Let me just have a guess at what it is. All right.
No, because I told you earlier, idiot.
All right. he didn't know because he was late. We mentioned.
To be honest, me and Ian talked about quite a lot. In fact, we recorded a whole podcast whilst waiting for Richard.
We've got a new one next week, so if anybody wants to check, it's the Ian and Stuart show.
Worryingly, if that gets more listeners than this one, we're doing it all wrong, because basically we spent 45 minutes slagging off Richard. So anyway, back to the Gridiron Jewels. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to get two guys per show. You're going to come on, you're going to get 2 minutes each to answer some quick fire NFL questions. And there'll be random questions, so they could be anything. You get 2 minutes each. Person with the most correct answers will progress into the next round, all the way down until we've whittled it down to just the one remaining Gridiron Quiz champion. And that person then will obviously be entitled to a prize, which we will obviously reveal at a later date. I think that's going to be good. It's going to be good to get some of our listeners on, maybe having a bit of a chat with them, getting some questions fired at them, seeing how good you guys are at knowing your stuff. Let's see how good you are.
I just hope we've got 16 listeners.
We do need 16 listeners.
We will have to vet, because we don't want all these random Dallas fans just coming out of the woodworks. I can't talk to 17 Dallas fans every week. So if you check out the Facebook page today, you'll see how to enter, how to get in touch with us, and we will get back in touch to arrange to get you on the show.
Very good.
So it's the end of the show, and as always, we like to end on our honourable mentions. Who would like to kick us off this week?
I've got one. I want to just talk about the stiff arm that Vance McDonald did against the Bucks on Monday night, he sent him a good 5 yards up in the air and then out and then ran in for another 55 yards to score the touchdown. I thought it was the best, possibly the best stiff arm I have ever seen. It was phenomenal.
It was definitely a stiff arm from nowhere.
It was an absolute monster. If you heard his interview afterwards, he was just like, I just wanted to get him out of the way. And I was like, yeah, fair play. But to be fair, it was a small cornerback going to try and tackle an absolutely massive tight end. So there was a bit of a mismatch there, but it still...
It was just the way it looked, perfect.
It was the reaction of all the players on the touchline as well when he did it. That was the funniest bit. You could see all the faces just in complete shock, and then half of them started laughing. It was really funny.
Yeah, it was funny. Any for you this week, Ian?
Yes, but I've just forgotten what it was. Thank goodness, mate. Oh, no, I know what it was, and I mentioned it to you earlier. So my mind, well, I was sending a text message just then. Sorry about that.
I'd see about you've got priorities sorted on this podcast, Ian.
Yeah, well, I was expecting to be finished by now because we should have started 45 minutes earlier than we actually did.
Yeah, and to be fair, his Meals on Wheels is due soon, isn't it?
Yeah, Kerr will be there, took him in, won't it? Past 9 o'clock.
Yes. I listened to, obviously Patrick Mahomes broke a few records last week with the number of touchdowns he's got in the first 3 weeks. Oh, no. But until I listened to him, I didn't realise that he actually does sound like Kermit the Frog. You heard it, haven't you, Richard?
I've heard it, yeah.
And he is a dead ringer for Kermit the Frog. So anybody listening, if you haven't listened to Patrick Mahomes, go on YouTube or something and listen to him talking. It's brilliant. I actually thought he was putting a voice on to start with, but he's not. He's great.
I've just got one. Has anyone seen the video of Bill Belichick savagely looking at a child at the Lions game and not high-fiving him?
Who's trying to high-five, yeah.
He totally just left him after giving him the evil look.
Yeah.
Well, it's normal look, isn't it? It's not really a different look for him.
Yeah.
And any more for you, Stu, or are we going to head over to Ian's Dictionary Corner?
I'm on the edge of my seat for Ian's Dictionary Corner, to be honest.
What have you got for this week, Ian?
Well, I've only got one word, but I need to throw our minds back to how we started with the word winningest.
How could we forget?
How could we start how we kicked off?
Yeah, which we decided was a stupid American thing that we just made up. Now, as you know, I like me PlayStation, and this week I was playing Assassin's Creed Origins, which is set in ancient Egypt, and there's a little bit of banter where just for a chariot race, and one of the Egyptians actually uses the word winningest in this computer game. So I was wrong. You know, this word has been around since ancient Egypt, so all it is fallen into disuse, and the Americans have just picked it up again 4,000 years later. So I need apologies for that. The other word, this isn't exclusively an American thing, but it's sportsmen who give 110%. Now, do they not do, you know, NFL players go to college, do they not have to do a little bit of maths while they're there and somebody explain to them? The most you can do is 100% of anything. You can't give 110%, it's 100%, not 110%. And it does my head in. So that's my word of today, 110%. What I want people to do is say you're going to give 100%.
Right, well,
and this should be dropped. This should be cut from the roster.
Let's get that tweeted out there to all the NFL stars. If you don't do 100%, Ian Davis is not happy.
Yeah. In fact, it'd be better saying I'm going to give 97%. You know, you could do that, couldn't you? You can't do 110%. You're just going to let yourself down. So I want one.
I'm
going to give 96% every week.
I'm 110% bored of listening to you.
Well, thanks again, guys, for joining us this week on the First Down Snapcast. Stuart, would you like to let listeners know where they can find us?
So you can find us at First Down UK on Facebook. We've got the same on for the website. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's tsnapcast. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's ridiculedidiot. I'm not very entertaining at all. That's where you can find us. Any questions, any problems, give us a shout. Thanks for listening, guys. Spread the word. Hope you can get involved in the gridiron duels.
Well, thank you guys again for your time this week. Apologies for being late and slap on wrist for me. We're back to normal time next week.
He says that. I don't believe him.
Yeah, I don't believe him either.
No. I'm going to be invoicing him for my time.
I'm purposely going to be sat waiting for you guys.
Podcast Network. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.